Hello, my name is Julia Sizer. Welcome to Self-Care for Teachers, a weekly motivation, refresher, and reminder of why we became teachers in the first place and how valuable we are in order to be our best for our students, our families, and ourselves. In today's episode, we will be answering the question, can I still do this? In the midst of this global pandemic, so much, if not every aspect of our lives has been affected in some way. This certainly includes our work as teachers. Beginning last spring, in what seems like just days ago, our approach to teaching suddenly shifted and may have made many of us feel as though we were in sinking sand. So many questions in our minds, such as, how will this affect my students? How are my students' parents and families coping? Am I continuing to connect with my students as I did before this pandemic? How do I teach effectively from a distance? It was all so sudden and may have felt extremely overwhelming. But because we are teachers, we buckled down and handled it. We are professionals and are trained to be adaptable, flexible, and creative. We have to be for the sake of our students. Thankfully, even though we are still moving through this crisis, the key words to remember are moving through. We are not stuck. We have had the summer to hopefully reflect and ask ourselves, what just happened? How did I end the year? And what can I do to make it better this year moving forward? So you may be preparing for your first day back, or you may be in your first week or month. As you are getting ready in the morning in preparation for your commute to your classroom, whether it be back at your school or in your living room, you may be asking yourself, can I still do this? Do I still want to do this? The unexpected and unexplained can test us to the very core of our being. I would say that this pandemic certainly fits that description. So, it is surely acceptable for us to ask these questions. It may be beneficial to take it a step further and also ask ourselves, why? Why do I feel this way? This is where self-examination can be beneficial for our personal growth and well-being, in addition to gaining clarity regarding our perspective on any given situation in life that we may be facing. When we purpose to slow down and seek to answer these questions, most times we find that it is fear. Fear telling us things such as, it's time to back out. It's time to quit. This is too much. But are those really the best solutions? To quit? To back out? Take this another step further and ask yourself, why? Why do I think this is too much? Is it really? If our honest answer to this question is yes, for whatever the reason, maybe it is due to our health or the health of a loved one, then by all means, it is wise to step away. On the other hand, we may believe that it is too much, as alluded to before, not because it really is too much, but deep down inside, we may be feeding into that fear, which may lead us to doubt ourselves and our ability to tap into our talents that we can share with our students. They need us now more than ever. And we have within ourselves what it takes to see them through this time for the duration. we don't have to sit and ponder all of our perceived faults and misgivings. We can instead choose to move forward and be there for our students. We can choose to use these times to wake up our potential, to create a genuine, lasting, positive, life-changing impression on them. We can make this time fruitful. And by fruitful, I'm saying that we can quit being busy, wearing ourselves out by feeling less than adequate as we continue to compare ourselves among ourselves, and trade all of that for slowing down and thinking of our students and what we ourselves have the ability to offer them. Through self-examination, we can accomplish two important things that will reap great rewards. Number one, we can cultivate a space for joy by living in the moment. By recognizing and taking advantage of the time that we're living in, we can become more aware of the availability to reconnect with our students on another level. Right now, they are revealing a vulnerable side to themselves that needs attention in order to help them succeed. Number two, we can add value to the lives of our students. By doing so, we also add value to our loved ones and ourselves. C.S. Lewis once said, "The task of the modern educator is not to cut down jungles, but to irrigate deserts." Wow, what a quote for the times we're living in. We don't have to be afraid that we may not be able to teach like we used to. So as a result, we end up throwing everything at our students but the kitchen sink in the hopes that something will resonate. We can, like C.S. Lewis stated, irrigate the deserts. We are capable of filling those dry and arid spaces in our students, of which many have been pulled up at the roots and left to carry the process of learning without any aid or support. So, the answer to our original question, after taking the time to self-examine, is, of course we can do this, because we want to do this. When we persevere and self-examine, we will come out stronger, and so will our students. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I hope you feel that your time was valued. I encourage you to leave a review or comment. You may follow me on Instagram at selfcareforteachers_Julia. In our next episode, I will be presenting part one of Anxiety in the Classroom and How to Help Yourself Along the Way. Until next time, this is Self Care for Teachers. We are amazing. We are peaceful teachers. Hello, my name is Julia Sizer. Welcome to Self Care for Teachers, a weekly motivation, refresher, and reminder of why we became teachers in the first place and how valuable we are in order to be our best for our students, our families, and ourselves. In this week's episode, I will be presenting part one, Conquering Anxiety in Today's Classroom for Students and Teachers. I had the privilege of presenting this topic at an in-service last summer and feel it is relevant during this time of COVID. The following strategies may be implemented in a virtual or classroom setting. If your classroom is virtual, the student's family may already be aware of their child's needs and have already made the appropriate accommodations. This is where communication is key. But no matter where your students are learning, I believe we can all agree that today's atmosphere is riddled with anxiety. Anxiety. Just hearing or seeing that word can conjure up feelings of stress, fear, frustration, and confusion. Speaking from my own experience, anxiety was not my best friend, but a relentless, ever-present, unwelcome companion in my life. I was raised in a loving home, but a stressful household, if that makes sense. I was surrounded by worriers and perfectionists, and through no fault of their own, I too followed suit throughout my childhood and early life, becoming what I was surrounded by. It wasn't until a dangerous bout with anorexia and a series of panic attacks that I recognized the dangers of my behavior. Through prayer, support, self-examination, and research on the topic, I was able to uncover the root of my anxiety and say a slow goodbye to my unwelcome companion. I say slow goodbye because this has been a process. Life brings with it many situations on a daily basis that can give rise to anxiety. But the good news is, it can be dealt with and put in its place so that it doesn't run interference in our relationships, our dreams, our goals, and for us, our work as teachers. Because I felt and experienced so much anxiety as a child, I knew that as a teacher, that was the last thing I wanted my students to experience. Not in my classroom. There is nothing that could hinder a student's sense of peace, well-being, and their learning more than anxiety. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, children ages 8 to 15 with anxiety disorders rank at 35% in comparison with other mental health disorders. And according to childmind.org, regular anxiety becomes a disorder when young people have out-of-proportion responses to things most of us cope with easily. The statement is true. I've witnessed it in my own classroom, and I'm sure you have too. I can also add, however, that in my opinion, I don't believe there's anything regular about anxiety. To say so would mean it is tolerated, and anything that is tolerated long enough can end up being a detriment to progress. In the case of our students, it can create a detriment to learning. In order to help our students, it is good to understand why they may be suffering from anxiety. Reasons stated by Dr. Tina Hahn include learned behavior, genetic brain chemistry, a stressful life event or stressful life in general, or something physical. Dr. Hahn goes on to explain by saying the damage that happens to kids from infectious diseases of toxic stress is as severe as the damage from meningitis or polio or pertussis. That is alarming. Not only for kids, but for us as well. This revelation is all the more reason to put into practice the tools and support to cope and conquer, especially in a pandemic environment. Whether we are teaching virtually or face-to-face in the classroom, there are ways to recognize an anxious student. You may observe a student who is withdrawn or a student who is fidgety. There are others who may display repetitive movements associated with OCD behavior. Students may want to leave the classroom or their virtual learning environment due to feeling disoriented, perplexed, bewildered, lost, or insecure. They may complain of a headache, a stomach ache, or other ailment. Or they may display tearful outbursts or acts of aggression. I can say that during my teaching career, I've been witness to all of these, and I'm sure some, if not most of you, have as well. Fortunately, there are things we can do as teachers to support our anxious students in order to facilitate learning and, more importantly, foster their sense of security and well-being. Here are 8 practical ways this can be accomplished. Number 1, If you're in the classroom, sit your anxious student at the end of a row or near a door or window. This allows your student to feel less trapped and more secure and in control of their environment. If anyone has ever suffered from panic and anxiety like I have, then you understand how effective the strategy can be. How many times can I recall feeling trapped in a row of strangers and losing all of my concentration? Until I learned that I was safe, no matter where I was seated, sitting on the end or near a door or window gave me the security necessary to focus. If your classroom is virtual, then, as stated earlier, the student's family may already be aware of this and have made accommodations for their child. Number two, and I preface this one by saying you have to know your student before employing the strategy, but it is effective when used thoughtfully. Allow the use of a fidget item, such as a spinner, a stress ball, or stress band. If an anxious, fidgety student has no way to channel their energy, they will not only be distracted from their own learning, but surprisingly, they will increase distractions within the entire classroom. How many of us have a stress ball on our desk, or being adults, quietly fidget in some way in order to better concentrate and calm down? Number three, just breathe. I know from experience that when I feel the pressure mounting, it benefits my well-being to, if possible, step away for a moment. Once again, you have to know your students and have your system of management in place before employing this strategy. But allowing for this for an anxious learner will breed security and trust.